tonight. Guide, lead, and direct. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, turn your Bibles to 2 Corinthians chapter 3. This is part 3 of I Am Blessed, I Am Thankful. I did this study in order to write the article for the paper post-Thanksgiving. I read you the article on Sunday, and we went through quite a few things. I'm going to go over them again just briefly. The I Ams. I am saved, and I won't give you the verse that goes along with it that we went over the other day. I am complete. I am chosen. I am forgiven. I am a new creature. I am a son of God. I am redeemed. I am light. I am justified. I am free from sin. I am more than a conqueror. I am God's temple. Then the next service was, I am joined in the Lord. I am called. I am created for good works. I am safe with a life in Christ. I am victorious. I am not condemned. I am at peace with God. I am guarded by God's peace. I am a son. I am accepted. I am healed. I am surrounded by God's mercy. I am well planted. I am never alone. We're going to go through several more tonight. Just what am I? I mean, what is a Christian? What does it mean to be a Christian? What do you experience at salvation, following salvation? For instance, you know, I told you that I am victorious. You know, I didn't go over the verse where it says that, you know, he came to give us life, more abundant life. I mean, you know, think about what you have. I talk to people all the time that are discouraged, disillusioned, and you've got to really just sort of wipe your slate clean and start thinking about, you know, what do I have in Christ Jesus? What has He done that I need to focus on? And if you stop focusing on yourself, stop focusing on others, and start focusing more on Christ, everything will be different. You focus on what He did, that list that I just gave you. You're God's temple. What does He want you to do with His temple? He wants you to treat it right. That's why, you know, that's why you don't do a lot of things. You don't destroy the temple of God. God says, if you destroy the temple of God, Him shall God destroy. Flee fornication. Every sin that a man commits is without the body, but he that committeth fornication sinneth against his own body. That's what the Bible says. This isn't, you know, some people would say, well, you know, now you're getting into meddling. And it's not. It's Bible. It is what it is. And you say, oh, well, you're not even in the 21st century anymore. Gladly not. If the 21st century means, you know, do as you please, not what God says, and don't worry about the God of the universe that's the Creator, then I'd rather be in the 19th century up here and here. I don't want to be modern. I want to be right with God. And that's what life is all about for me. Now, I'm not perfect by any means in behavior or life. I'm perfect in that I am complete, because complete also means perfect. We're made complete in Him. But I want you to look at 2 Corinthians chapter 3. And here's the first point tonight. I am sufficient because of God's sufficiency. I have a God sufficiency that makes me sufficient. 2 Corinthians 3:5. It says, not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think anything as of ourselves, but our sufficiency is of God. Our sufficiency. You want to be sufficient? Your sufficiency is of God. So I am sufficient because of God's sufficiency. It's nothing to do with me or who I am or what I am. It has to do with God. And it's, you know, it's 70 degrees in here. I didn't get here early, so I didn't touch it, but I will now. There we go. We'll get some air in there. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 12. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. The next one is, I am strong in Christ. 2 Corinthians 12:10. Therefore I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong. I am strong in Christ. The world teaches you anything but that. They teach you you're so-called self-made man. You know, you're a liberated woman. You be liberated as you want to be. But you've got to realize that without God, you have no sufficiency. Without God, you are not strong because He works through weakness. You know why you have things come in your life that knock you down and make you realize that you're not the all-powerful Oz? I don't know where that came from. Just thought about it. You're not the all-powerful because unless God knocks you down and you realize your insufficiency and your weakness, He can't work through you. He can't show you. It's like Gideon. You go through there and Gideon's got all these people going to fight with him. You know, hey, they're just long. They're scared as can be. And he says, listen, if you're fearful, go home. Man, a bunch of them left. You know what God said? You still got too many. He's looking around thinking, you know, I'm down to, what was it, 10,000? I'm down to 10,000. What do you mean I have too many? I had three times that before. I need everybody I can get. I need to fight with this big army because we're not going to win if we don't have the numbers to outnumber them. And, you know, God's just up there sort of smirking a little bit saying, hey, you just don't get it. I'm God. You will win because I cause you to win. What did He do? Knock it down to what, 300? Now, wait a minute. That doesn't make sense. And if you ever do your budget, those things don't make sense either. I remember looking at that house over there and thinking, man, how did we get it, build it for so low? I mean, I've got a spreadsheet, but I quit about 3 months before we finished because then I could project out and know, look, there's only this, and it's, you know, I'm done. I wish I'd have kept it going because it was pretty neat. He asked me for my spreadsheet, and I said, here it is, take it. You know, it'll help you plan out your job or whatever. But I mean, we were able to do things and it didn't work on paper. They never do unless God's in it. Then what God does is God works the thing out. God gets the glory. You know what man wants? Man wants the glory. I did it. It was me that did it. It's like this church. You know, I never wanted to take over a church that was thriving numerically. Why? Well, sometimes the only way you can go is down. I guarantee the only way we could go is up, you know, and then listen, I thought, man, we're not. Why? Because maybe we think it's us when it's all God and God's time, God's way, God's will. You do your job, you do your part, and then you get out of the way and you say, Lord, listen, it's you, it's not me. Why? Paul said, when I am weak, then am I strong. We don't know how to depend upon God. We really don't. And we should. And we should get better at it as time goes on. Abby's talking about her school. You know what you got to learn? You got to learn how to depend on God. You got to learn how to take your pressure off of you, put it on God and say, Lord, I need you to take the pressure off me because I'm thinking it's all me. It's all me. It's all how I study. No, God says, I'll keep you awake. I'll keep you focused. I'll do all that stuff for you if you'll just look to me and trust me. And that's what He wants you to do. That's what He wants all of us to do. That's just an example of what He does. You trust Him. Everything in life, everything is about trusting God. You give me a problem. You give me an instance. You give me a situation, and I'll tell you what the answer is. Trust God. How are we going to do this? Trust God. Well, wait a minute. No. What do you mean? Nobody would ever say that, would they? If I answered you, trust God, Would you say, well, you could say this, well, that's pretty flippant, but it's not. That is from my heart the answer on any problem we have. Trust God. This country, trust God. This city, trust God. This church, trust God. Your family, my family, trust God. That's the answer. When I am weak, then am I strong. And by the way, I am strong because I'm weak. Look at the next one in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. I am an ambassador for Christ. I wish I was a better ambassador. I wish I never slipped up. I wish I never failed. I wish I could be an ambassador that would say all the right things all the time. Trust God. You'll say things better than you did before. I am an ambassador. 2 Corinthians 5:20 says, now then we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead, be reconciled to God. I am an ambassador for Christ. You are an ambassador for Christ. Look at the next one in Romans chapter 4. Romans chapter 4, verse 7. I am blessed. Saying, blessed are those whose iniquities are forgiven, whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin. Blessed are those whose iniquities are forgiven. I'm blessed. Why? My iniquities are forgiven. My sins are covered. God's not going to impute sin to me. Am I still a sinner? Better believe it. But in the eyes of God, He sees Christ, not me. I'm blessed. What's going to happen tomorrow? I don't know. I'm blessed. What's going to happen next month? I don't know. I'm blessed. Keep that in mind. Oh me, oh my, the world's coming to an end. The sky has fallen. The grass is no longer green. The sky is no longer blue. And I'm blue. No, I'm blessed. Give me any situation. You're blessed. If you're saved, you're blessed. And what we do is we forget that. We forget. We get into thinking and dwelling on and allowing the world to control us and manipulate us. That's why I talk about news so much. If you watch the news all the time, it is designed to stir you up, destroy your faith, and make you want to fight everybody and everything. To no avail. Turn it off. I remember when I started watching the news. You know when it was? When they took the Iranians took our people hostage, in Iran. I remember I started watching Copal, Nightline. Remember that? Hey, remember after 9/11? Nobody turned off their television. I had a barber who said nobody would come to the barber shop, and she had to go get a television so people would come to the barber shop and get their hair cut. We glued to the television. How beneficial was that? Now we have this pandemic. What do? We do the same thing. What are the numbers? What are the numbers today? How many people are dying? How many people have got it? And nobody, you know, they just, well, you know, look at the percentage. Look at the mortality rate. Look at the people that died from heart attacks and cancer and all those other things that aren't being accounted for. Everybody's dying from COVID. You know what the last year? It was COVID. And guess what? You hear about the ship that went out and all of them fully vaccinated. You know, man, I tell you what, Fauci, tell me some more. I'm going to listen to you. Are you kidding me? Who started this thing anyway? You know what they've said? If you call it the Chinese virus, that you are racist. It's a racist comment. You know where the Hong Kong virus started, don't you? Yeah. It's the Wuhan virus. They've always done that. But listen, you're being controlled and manipulated by the news and the media, and they're making people think what they want them to think. And they're going to continue to do it. We have to learn as Christians not to allow them to control us. I am blessed. Look at Ephesians chapter 1. I want to drive it home a little bit deeper on being blessed. Ephesians chapter 1, look at verse 3. Ephesians 1, 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. You and I are blessed with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. You may not feel them. You may not see them. But they are there. I believe it. You know why I believe it? The Bible says it. Now, how far does that go and what exactly does that mean? I can't tell you what being blessed with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places really means in Christ. I can't define it for you. All I know is, man, that sounds like a pretty good blessing. Look at the all spiritual blessings. It doesn't say, well, you know, you're blessed with two spiritual blessings in heavenly places. You're blessed with a few of them. It says you're blessed with all of them. Now, maybe we don't get to experience all that blessing until after we leave this earth. Then we get to experience it. Think about those that have gone on before you. What an encouragement to think about those that have died that you know for sure they're saved. They're up there right now. If you gave them all the money in the world, not a one of them would set foot on earth again. But boy, we sure want it down here, don't we? You gave them all the nicest car, the nicest house, the nicest jewelry, the nicest this, the nicest that. And not a one of them would take their pinky and send it back down here to earth. Why? Because they're experiencing the all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. You and I may not, but they are. Look at another one, 1 Peter chapter 2. I am special to God. In fact, quite peculiar. 1 Peter 2, 9, but you're a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praises of Him who hath called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. You are a peculiar people. I am special to God. If you're special to God, how ought you to behave? You and I ought to behave as those that have the realization of the fact that we are special to God. He cares about you. He loves you. He wants to take those blessings and make them reality for you. I read, I'm blessed. Blessed are they whose iniquities are forgiven, sins covered, to whom the Lord will not impute sin. That's us. He wants us to take those blessings and make them a realization to us. Romans chapter 15. I am filled with all joy and peace. Romans 15, 13. Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. That He may fill you with all joy and peace. I want to be filled with all joy and peace. Doesn't mean you don't have a bad day. Doesn't mean you don't have a bad hour. Doesn't mean you don't have a bad week, maybe. But when you compare it to what you could have if you didn't have Christ, Just sit down sometime and go life with Christ, life without Christ. Do a tea on it. I have people that love me. I have family and family outside of family. I have a father who called me up and said, "Hey, I just wanted to let you know I accepted Jesus, my Lord and Savior, at 86 years old." Wow. Now, I wish he was 46, which would have been right, you know, that's what I, but God knew what he's doing. And boy, I understand more of that than you know. I understand why. But praise God, he saved. Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2 tells us that we're quickened. I am quickened. And quickened just means made alive. If you cut your finger to the quick, you know what it's going to do? It's going to bleed. It's going to hurt because it bleeds. But it's going to bleed because you're cutting it to the quick, the life. I am quickened, Ephesians 2, 4 and 5, but God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved. He's quickened us together with Christ. He's made us alive. You were dead before you were saved. You were an enemy. You were ungodly. He died for the ungodly. He died for sinners. He died for his enemies. And then he says, "And now I quickened you. I made you alive." He took you from dead to alive. Amen. Amen. I've got two more. We're going to come in for a landing early tonight. I am acceptable to God. Look at 1 Peter chapter 2. First Peter chapter 2, I am acceptable to God. Verse 5. Ye also, as lively stones, are built up a spiritual house and holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. I am acceptable to God. God is just. That means you have to be perfect to go to heaven. God is the justifier, which means that he is the one that can make you perfect in his eyes. If he forgives all your sins because there was a sacrifice made for you, that sacrifice being Jesus Christ on the cross, that's up to God. God says, "I require a sacrifice, a sinless sacrifice, to take care of your sin." What did he do? "For God so loved the world that he gave us his only begotten Son. He came down here, died on that cross, shed his blood so that we can be saved. And now we're acceptable." Before that, you and I were unacceptable. Unacceptable. I can't imagine. I mean, like I tell you all the time, many of you the same way, been saved a long time. In one day, I went from unacceptable to acceptable. Lost, saved. Unforgiven, forgiven. Unredeemed, redeemed. And I could go on and on and on and on and on and on and on about all the changes that took place. Guess what? You and I didn't know about any of them before we got saved. Very few. You might know saved and lost, maybe. You know, and even that, I think we'd have a hard time defining it. But, you know, people come up to you and they say, "Oh, you're lost, you need to get saved." No, I realized that these people had something I want, and it was Jesus Christ. They asked me, "Am I a sinner?" Sure, I'm a sinner. Jesus died for your sin. Do you want him to forgive your sin? Sure I do. Amen. I did it. I'm acceptable. Last one. Psalm 139. Psalm 139, 14. The Bible says, "I will praise thee, For I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. Look at the Bible there. My soul knoweth right well. It sounds like somebody talking to you. You know, they're just, hey, my soul knoweth right well. You know, does your soul knoweth right well? You wonder where phrases come from? A lot of them come from the Bible. I am fearfully and wonderfully made. I'll tell you what, as many complaints as I could come up with, I have no complaints. If I sit down and think about all those things I just read to you, the list I gave you at the beginning and the things that we delineated tonight, no complaints. Do I get discouraged? Sure, I do. You don't see it very often. I don't show it very often. Sure. It happens. Guess what? I'm blessed. I'm thankful. Let's all stand together. Let's pray. Lord, you thank you for many blessings. We just ask that you guide, lead, and direct. Lord, we just pray that you would help us to understand how great a God you are. Lord, we need you, and we need to understand you better and understand our relationship to you better. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. With your head bowed and eyes closed, thank you.